Friday's from the State House call. Just a quick update. We want to mention that we are sponsored by Cornerstone Government Affairs. We have kept them extremely busy this year down at the Capitol. Brandon and I have been down there a lot, driving them crazy and advocating right alongside of them. So we thank them for being supporters of our association and working as hard as they have here, because it's been kind of a brutal session. So they've been very, very busy. So, and again, thanks for joining us. Again, this is a member only call. So we appreciate your discretion and not sharing the information that we provide today. We are hopefully in the final weeks of the legislative session. We have been extremely busy, like I said. We've had a lot going on at the State House this past week, and the legislators have been very busy. As again, we're late in the session now. Budgetary talks are well underway, and the legislators are getting antsy to get out of there. The food is getting, or the cafeteria is getting low on food, and they're not willing to replenish as much, so the pickings are slim down there. It's a little bit like Hunger Games at this point. So a couple of the big issues that I wanted to mention this week that were taking place down there. Again, every week there's some big thing going on that we hear about that sort of takes over the Capitol. There were some property tax bills that went through this week, some pretty significant debates going on with the Senate one night this week going until 5 o'clock in the morning. So there was a lot going back and forth regarding property tax, and then schools was, I think, the main thing that kind of had them debating for so far into the wee hours of the morning. So that is not unusual, actually. It's unusual to go till 5 a.m., but oftentimes towards the end of the legislative session, when they're really trying to knock things out and come to a decision on bills, they will go well into the night as far as, maybe midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. It is unusual for them to go until 5 o'clock. So I was glad that it wasn't one of our bills that we needed to sit through the entire night and monitor. So grateful for that, at least. Otherwise, we do have some big news as far as, related to the progress of the budgets. Again, this is a pretty competitive time of year. These conversations don't just start last week or this week. They are ongoing. It actually starts immediately when, the legislative session ends. That's when, our legislators start having fundraisers, and we attend and we start talking about our issues and the challenges and the needs of our sectors, and start sort of pumping those up and putting them in front of our legislators. And then we continue to do that throughout the entire year. So, but I will say next Friday is April 28th is the 110th day of the session. And that means it's the last day that the legislators will receive their per diem. So it is technically the last day of session, but like in several of the most recent sessions, the legislature won't adjourn on time. That's kind of to be expected. That would be great if they could get out of here next Friday. But, the governor and the both chambers still need to reach an agreement on the fiscal year 24 budget. So, again, though, there was some good movement this week with conversations being had between both of the chambers and the governor. A couple of those conversations I know took place. And on Thursday, the House and Senate released their joint budget targets. So the total spending will be about $8.5 billion, which represents about 88.25% of ongoing revenues. So how this works is that the governor and leadership in the Senate and the House get together and have a conversation about what that big overall budget needs to look like. It is up to each chamber separately to come up with their own idea of what that'll look like, and then they have negotiations and come to an agreement upon a big overall number. Within each chamber, they separately decide. So, for example, the House would say, this is what we're going to do as far, this is the amount of money that we're going to give to each committee. So our kind of the primary committee that we work through is the Health and Human Services Committee. So they'll get together, the leadership in the House, and they'll say, okay, the chairman of that committee is Representative Joel Fry. So they will say, Representative Frye, this is the amount of money that you have to spend within your entire health and human services budget. Our sectors fall within that HHS budget. And so that is who we go to request appropriations. So again, when I mentioned that it's competitive, it's pretty cutthroat. So once they know what that targeted number is, they say, okay, I've got, you know, pretend $10 million. And now it's much larger than that. But just for example's sake, I need to decide how much, you know, nursing facilities get, how much elderly waiver, the HCBS services get, LUPA, they take into consideration, obviously. But then they're also competing with, you know, trying to figure out how to get mental health services, you know, community providers. There are just all kinds of different groups that really, you know, fall under that larger, much larger health and human services budget. So that is kind of, that's going on now. And once those kind of individual, you know, budgets are figured out or assigned within that HHS committee, that's when the two chambers come together. So the Health and Human Services chair of the House and then of the Senate, and then they negotiate on sort of an overall number within each of those categories of appropriations. So it's very confusing, and it's a very long process, but we're at a point right now where Brandon and I spent, I think, every day, maybe at the Capitol this week, and we feel like we're solid on the House side of things. What they released specifically for nursing homes is their intention to appropriate $25 million. The Senate has not come down with a specific number, but they have indicated that they are in line with regards to facilities. They are in line with the governor's budget, and she appropriated, or she designated, $15 million in hers. So where we're at with the Senate is we're assuming it's they're at $15 million. We know for sure the House is at $25 million, but there's that was where we saw opportunity this week, because they haven't negotiated yet, the House and the Senate, on a specific budget for SNFs. Brandon and I went down and we worked the Senate really hard this week. We identified some targeted members on the Appropriations Committee, and we really sat down with them multiple times and sort of pleaded our case for why it's so important to appropriate you know, funding for nursing facilities as much as humanly possible. So I feel that, you know, we've done an effective job. We won't know here probably until next week again, but we're having all kinds of outreach, and we'll get into that here in a second when I pass it over to Brandon. I did want to talk about how we're also advocating for LUPA funding and for the increase in the HCBS waiver. We met yesterday with the chair of the Appropriations Committee in the House, again, Representative Frye. So what he informed us, again, they came out with an HCBS number of 5.5 million. And what they did with that is, if you remember last year, there were some ARPA funds that were used, some one-time funding that was used for increasing the amount to HCBS services. Because it was one-time funding and it didn't come out of the state appropriation, they needed to somehow continue that amount of funding moving forward. And the House did decide to go ahead and put that funding in there so that they could continue to keep that increase for the years to come. So that was a win for us without having that in there. That amount would have gone away. It would have decreased. So we consider that a win. We've worked the Senate really hard on the other side of the chamber, and it's looking positive. You know, we've asked them to match that to at least maintain what was given last year in those one-time funds. Brandon, is there anything that you would add to that, or did I miss anything?
No, you covered that well. I think it's just the reminder that it was ARPA money used last year for that, and that's not a recurring funding stream. ARPA is going to be winding down as the PHE ends. And so, you know, I think that's why it's appropriated at 5.5 million, is because okay. The phase out.
Maybe he's not on. I'm hoping that everyone can still hear me.
Could you not hear me at all there, Maria?
I could hear you, Brandon.
Okay, just making sure.
Okay, sorry. I'm on.
otherwise, I think the next thing that we were going to cover here was probably the LUPA piece of this. And so that covers HCBS and those funds. The other side of it is LUPA. And we have been having conversations regarding our LUPA increases for our home health providers over the course of the session. And so, as we've been having some more of these conversations here recently and understanding and hearing that there are many providers who haven't gotten increases in several years, it's proved to be a little bit more challenging. While we do continue to advocate on the LUPA side, to ensure that we can try to get those up to 100% cost coverage, we are still working both ends. Like Maria said, with the budget targets out, we can still work within the HHS budget to try to influence any where those monies now end up going. And so we are continuing to work on the LUPA side as well. So Maria, are you still on?
I'm good now. Sorry about okay. that. I had a little volume issue. I apologize if I was interrupting or talking over. It's been a long week. Forgive us. So that's where we're at as far as appropriation. I did miss out a little bit on one of or some of Brandon's comments, but I'm assuming he's covered everything as far as HCBS and the LUPA stuff. So if you have any comments or questions about that, again, feel free to put it in the chat box or reach out to one of us directly on that. Excuse me. But that's truly where we're at with regards to appropriations. Again, we will likely know more, middle of next week or so. But our intention is to get onto the Capitol and continue, to fight for funding for all three sectors that we represent. So you can be assured that we continue to do that. Brandon, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the grassroots efforts?
Yeah, thanks, Maria. I know that. Obviously, usually when we get down to crunch time here, we're looking at calls to action and how we want to put the full force of the association behind some of our efforts if we determine that that's the best case or the best means necessary to like help achieve what we're trying to here. As the budget targets have been set, and so it kind of has gone down to the committee level and the committee chairs to determine the use of those funds, we've started to implement a more targeted approach on those outreaches and started some of that yesterday with individuals who are high ranking. Typically, and what we've started with is high ranking on the Senate, ensuring that we're active voices with those members, and have had some members reach out to them via phone yesterday as some of those conversations were being had and will continue to be having had over the next week or so. And so we've done a more targeted approach so far, not to say that we won't and maybe couldn't activate a larger approach here in the near future. But as of right now, it looks like this is probably the best path to ensure the highest rate of success for members. And so that's kind of the route we've gone at this point. Maria, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I don't think so. I think, we've had such tremendous success with you all reaching out, not only recently to your legislators, but throughout the year, and inviting them for visits and having conversations with them, sending them emails and just updating them, again, for over a greater period of time than just even recently that, I think that, our grassroots efforts have really been paying off. We're not hesitant to do a call to action. We just want to make sure that it's in the most timely way possible so that it's most effective. So as Brandon said, just kind of keep an ear out. We'll let you know if we need to pull that trigger. It would definitely be next week if that were the case. So, but right now we're doing a little bit more of a targeted approach. Otherwise, the only other thing I really wanted to mention this week is that we did meet with DHHS yesterday. Again, Representative Fry the chair of the HHS committee, as well as the chair of the General Health and Human Services Committee, Representative Meyer. They had a representative from the governor's office there. And we just talked about several different things. We discussed the state of the nursing facilities, the sector as a whole. We talked about the future of what it looks like here across the state as far as HCBS services and assisted living. So we just had a kind of a general conversation about the future plans of what the state might look like. So again, it was a conversation. It wasn't any, no decisions were made about anything, but it was really just nice to get on the same page as far as hearing sort of what they're thinking as far as a future outlook. And it was clear to us that they are willing to partner with us moving forward and have conversations about long-term care, across the state. So one thing I did want to mention, I know that between DHS and the governor's office, there are conversations regarding a CON moratorium. I believe Brent mentioned that last week. Brandon and I weren't able to be on. Those conversations are ongoing, as well as some changes in the change of ownership process. So we're monitoring that. We're requesting feedback from them or they're requesting feedback from us on what that looks like. And we're just being vigilant as far as any changes there. So more to come on that. But again, nothing finalized, but we are working to make sure that we have a voice in what that might look like. Brandon, did you want to add anything there? Or?
No, that's pretty much where we're at right now, just in the conversation phase right now on that bill and hoping to provide some constructive feedback.
Mm-hmm. So that's really, it doesn't seem like a lot, I guess, as I talk about it, but it sure has been quite a week. like I said, we will continue to go down there and advocate like crazy, do our targeted, pullouts from the Senate floor and anybody on the House that we feel, might need, talk to and influenced and, reminded of the value of, our providers and how they contribute to their communities and what their facilities and what their services mean to their communities. So otherwise, if you guys have questions about anything, definitely feel free to reach out to myself, Brandon or Brent. He is not able to join us this week, but we're happy to answer, if you want to call, email, or bring any questions in the chat box.
Nothing in the chat right now. If anyone has anything that they want to unmute, they could do that as mm-hmm. well. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and we hope that you have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, everyone.